What is going on, everyone? Welcome to A Theology of Hustle. I'm your host, Curry Blanford, and this is episode 60. All right, so today I'm bringing to you Dom Geralds, and this dude is awesome. He has such an incredible story. You're going to love this episode. So Dom is a drummer, but he's a drummer that got started later in life. And I think this is one of those great stories that I love where you just never really know what God has in store for you. It's sort of like comes out of nowhere, right? That he becomes a professional drummer. And so we walk through the entirety of that story, how he got to where he is, what he's doing now. He is the drummer, one of the drummers for Elevation Worship. He also tours with John Mark McMillan and is the drummer for a band called Solace. And we nerd out about drums this episode. It is so much fun. After we hear his incredible story of becoming a professional drummer, we talk about gear. We talk about what it is to be a worship musician. We even get some music recommendations. I mean, this episode has it all. And I think you're just going to really enjoy hearing about the trajectory that God has had Dom on. He's had some like pretty amazing things happen to him to show him that professional drummers is where it's at. We talk about worship and what it means to worship as somebody who leads worship. I think that can get super tricky when that's your profession. And so we talk a little bit about all of that stuff. And yeah, you're just going to love hearing from him. He's just a really good dude. And yeah, this is a great episode. I can't wait for you to check it out. If you could go ahead though, while you're thinking about it, will you go ahead and leave me a rating and review on iTunes? It's super helpful. Just gets the word out. Just tells people that others are listening. I think that's important stuff. I would greatly appreciate that. Make sure you're following me on Instagram at Theology of Hustle. You can also join my Twitter at Curry Blanford as I try to grow that from like 10 followers to like 20. So, you know, if you want to help me out there, I would greatly appreciate it. Also, make sure you're following Dom on all the socials. His Instagram is incredible because you just never know what you're going to get on that thing. It is awesome. You can follow along with his adventures. He and his wife are super fun. And yeah, it's a great account to follow. So make sure you're following him there. I have all these links in the show notes. And he talks a lot about music in this episode. And I've actually gone through and linked to Reverb LP. If you want to pick up any of these albums on vinyl or, you know, CD, you can pick them up through there. So make sure and check all those show notes out. I work really hard on those things. So, you know, make sure you're checking them out for me. I would greatly appreciate it. So yeah, do all those things for me. Let me know what music you jump into after this episode. I'd love to hear about what you're listening to, what's sparking creativity in you. And I hope you enjoy this episode with Dom. Well, Dom, I can't say thanks enough for jumping on with me, man. It's so good to meet you and get to chat a little drums.
Absolutely, man. Glad you hit me up and stoked we're finally making it happen.
Yeah, you know? For real. It's good. All right. So let's just jump off here and just have you introduce yourself to everybody a little bit.
Awesome. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dom or Dominique Geralds. I am a drummer here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Play with a few local artists and then also play for my church, Elevation, and got some bands that I'm into. And yeah, you know, just loving life, playing music, loving being married. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, it's awesome. 3 years now, right? I was checking out your Instagram. 3 years of marriage. Yeah.
3 years of marriage, man.
I love it, man. That's good stuff.
It's flying by, but you know, it's beautiful.
I love it. It's good stuff. All right, man. Well, okay. So let's jump back into your story a little bit. So how did all this like drumming stuff come about?
All right. So I, quick story. I didn't start playing drums until I was 21.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm 33 now. So prior to that, I was at a church called Metro Worship Center. It's in Kannapolis, North Carolina. That was there. It's not there anymore. But that's where I like basically started with like percussion and stuff. I started playing djembes, congas for the worship team and like shakers, goat hills, cowbells, all that stuff that you would see a percussion guy play. And that's where I started. So my pastor at the time was like, you should join the worship team and play this. And I was like, I don't know about that, because the idea of being up on a stage to me was just frightening. And
really?
Yeah. And so I was like, well, what could it hurt? And so I did it, and I played hand percussion for 2.5 years. And then there was a point where I was like, I feel like there's something more I should be doing. And I didn't know what that looked like. I was like, I feel like there's another instrument that I should play. Cause before I got into percussion and drums, I played saxophone for 7 years. So from sixth grade up until my junior year in high school, that was my musical background. And, so fast forward to when I started playing percussion, we were in and out of drummers all the time on the week, on the weekends and then Wednesday nights. And so we never really had a full time drummer, and there were some services where we didn't have one and there was a need. And so that idea kind of sparked in my head. I was like, oh, what if I started playing drums? And I remember at the time when I went up to actually start playing, my worship mentor leader at the time, his name was Aaron Kreider. He's out at Gateway right now, doing the school of worship there and overseeing all of that. Incredible guy, piano player and just worship leader in general. But I have him to thank, the beginning stages of what, I started to do. But when I first started playing drums, he was like, man, you suck. He was like, go back over to your Congo and djembe station. And I was like, man, are you serious? And so, at that point I was like, man, I could let this discourage me and not continue to go forward with it. But I just really felt in my spirit and in my heart, I was like, I feel like this is something I could, do. And I just had a connection with it. And so I took it and I ran with it. And I kind of took what he said and just was like, I'm not gonna let him beat me down, or I'm gonna prove to him that I can do this. And so, but more so I just had the passion and I wanted to accomplish it and just learn. And so from that time, 3 months, I just worked my tail off, man. And there was nights where I would sleep at the church, wake up in the morning, play drums all through the night. There was times where my parents don't know this, but I would skip school and work to stay at the church and play drums. And I was just so driven, man. And, I had a key to the church at the time because I was kind of like a youth leader minister. So I could go anytime. And so I spent most of my time during that 3 months just working my tail off. And he came to me one weekend and was like, what in the world have you been doing? I was like, what do you mean? He was like, how did you get so good so fast? And I was like, I've just been practicing and just playing.
I haven't stopped drumming for 3 months, basically.
I haven't stopped drumming. Yeah, just basically been sleep eating drums. And so he was like, I want to take you to New York with me. And I was like, for what? And he was like, to play drums. And he was like, I'm playing this conference thing, and I would love to have you come and play. And I was like, absolutely. And that was my first time ever leaving my hometown, China Grove, to go out of North Carolina. So New York was the first time that I left North Carolina, and also my first time going somewhere to play music. And when that happened, I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. So that's kind of a quick story of how it began.
Man, that's crazy. So what the heck, do you understand the obsession? Because that's some serious obsession, right? Where did that come from, all this?
I honestly don't know. I think it was just I sat down and I just felt so connected and I was eager to learn. And it was just, something the Lord had placed in me that I didn't realize that I had later on in life. And, who knows where I'd be if I started when I was younger, but fully believe that the Lord started me out at the right time and, in his timing. And, I probably wouldn't be where I am now if I would have started when I was younger. had I started when I was 21. So I'm thankful for when I did start, and I am thankful for, you know, where he's brought me thus far, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's mind-boggling to me. Because, like, you think of a professional musician and, like, I mean, you think of, like, starting when you're five or whatever, right? Like, and coming up and, like, do it. But, like, 21, that is, like, I know. Awesome. I love that. I love that. Okay, so how did, like, going to New York and playing a conference turn into, like, hey, I'm, like, a professional musician?
So, I mean, well, within that, I was still working, you know, full-time jobs. I worked at a distribution center before I, like, made the decision to go full-time doing music. I was working at a distribution center in Salisbury called NBM, where I was loading trucks with, you know, frozen food and, like, fresh products and fresh food products and just stuff like that, and driving forklifts and whatnot. And one day I was missing a lot of opportunities music wise because, you know, as you do with a full time day job, it's hard to get time, a lot of time off to do that. So, but I really felt like the Lord was calling me to music and do it full time. But, at that time I was like, man, I don't know if it's just me wanting to do that, or, you know, because you find that balance of, like, is this me wanting to do this, or is the Lord actually really calling me? And so I was thinking that I was loading my truck and, you know, going through my normal routine. And a guy that I worked with, we had become good friends, and he walked in my truck. And it's just, I remember it just like it was yesterday, man. He came into my truck. He was like, hey, man, how you doing? I was like, I'm doing good. Working. And he was like, I see you, man. I hear it. He was like, what are you still doing here? And I had another one of those moments of, like, what do you mean? He was like, you know what I mean? Like, why aren't you out doing music? And, like, I instantly felt, like, overwhelmed, and I started bawling just because it, like, 10 seconds earlier, I was asking the Lord, I was like, is this what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, or am I supposed to be out doing, I don't know. And in that moment that happened, it was just the Lord clearly spoke to me through him. And that's when I was like, all right, wow. I got to get out of here and I got to do this. And I didn't know what it looked like because I knew it was a huge step of faith. At the time, I was just, you know, playing at multiple churches and just kind of, you know, doing what I could music wise. And I was just like, well, I guess it's time. And that was the defining moment of being full time.
Dude, that's a great story. Yeah. Oh my God. Wow. But yeah, that's so cool. And so, like, this dude, like, were y'all tight or?
Yeah, I mean, we weren't tight. I mean, we had just known each other through the job, and he was just like one of the guys I would talk to here and there. But yeah, it wasn't like,
what a good
friend. Yeah, no, it was crazy. It was insane, man. That's so awesome. I'm thankful that's for awesome. Him and for that moment.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. So what was it like to sort of, like, climb the ladder though? I mean, like, how did, cause I know you ended up, like, drumming for John Mark McMillan, and, like, so what does that look like to even, like, build a brand as a drummer, I guess, maybe I'm using the wrong words, but, you know.
No. I mean, honestly, no one really knows what it ever looks like. Yeah. Everything that kind of plays into it, it's just, honestly, the Lord's timing, just your work ethic. Yeah. And, you know, how passionate and driven you are, and just, like, kind of being at the right place at the right time, and, you know, people that you know, that plays a lot into it as well. But and location, those are all huge things too, because I have a lot of guys ask me, you know, how did you get to where you are? How'd you get connected with playing with John Mark or Elevation? And, you know, a lot of it boils down to, you know, location, and then guys that I know and I've played with for years, and just kind of a reputation kind of thing. So, yeah, I remember, like it was yesterday, too, when I would see John Mark play at Morningstar, and I was like, man, it would be awesome to play for him one day. And this was, like, my early stages of playing drums. And fast forward to now, like, I'm getting to play with him. It's just kind of crazy. Yeah, it's just like, you know, right. These things that, you know, you desire and have on your heart and you want to see come to pass and you pray about. And but then you like have an idea and be like, oh, that'd be cool one day. And then it actually comes true. It's just kind of crazy how the Lord works like that.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I love that. I love that. Let's jump into a little bit of like your Jesus story, because it sounds like you sort of grew up in church, right?
Yeah, I did. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay, so for you, have you always been a worshiper, I guess? Like, has that always connected with you?
Yeah, it has, man. Ever since I was, you know, young, I remember, it's a funny story, seeing my grandparents and my parents, you know, just always going to church and worshiping. And so I took that on very early. And my grandma has a funny story from when I was about 2. She would be worshiping and she would be praying in tongues. And she said that when I was young, I'd just be right there with her, just like making noise, man. But like, yeah. I got it early on. And so I am thankful to have grown up in that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. So what is it like, though? I mean, because when you're drumming, mm-hmm. too, like at church or whatever, like at the same time you're performing, right? So mm-hmm. do you feel like it's you enter into worship like while you're drumming easily, or yeah?
Yeah, it's very easy for me because, I mean, there is that line of performing and then also, you know, worshiping. But I've always told myself that I never want any time that I play to come off as a performance. In my mindset, I like prepare my heart, but then I'm also picturing that, you know, I am in just the throne room of heaven and it's just me and the Lord. And I am just going all out, you know, as much as I can on the drums. And it's just us. And that translates through that becomes my worship. And then, you know, he takes it from there and translates it out. And so I always try to prepare my heart for that, man, because it's very easy to fall into that line of performing, especially in a worship setting. But yeah, you just got to prepare your heart and prepare your mind. And that's how I do it. And it's never been a battle for me to have that line. But yeah, man, I'm a worshiper, man. I go hard.
I love it. I love it. I'm the same way, man. I'm the same way. That's good stuff. And I love, like, there's just nothing like being in a place with people and everybody's worshiping. And it's like, man, like you said, like the throne room of God, like this is it, man. This is what's Absolutely. Going down, you know? Yeah. So I love that. I love that picture of you like in the throne room drumming. I can just sort of picture it, you know, you're like going hard for, that's good. That's good stuff. So how do you go about preparing your heart then for something like that? Cause that's a week in, week out, daily grind sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, man. You know, either it's like quiet time before or me just going off by myself and praying or just listening to a song, like a worship song or a song in general that I can just feel the presence of the Lord in. And that just kind of gets me in that spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good, man. Simple. Keep it
simple.
Yeah,
keep
right?
it simple, man. Yeah.
I love it. That's what it's about. So, okay. So when most people are like worshiping, right? Like at a church worshiping or something, like the main person is up front, the singers, you sort of see a lot of that. But like, I don't think people think a lot about what's going on behind that cage, right? Like, you know, you're almost in another room a lot of times, right? Like from the band. So let's just talk a little bit about what it means to just be a drummer. You know what I mean? Like what goes into all that? Big question. I know.
Yeah, no, you're good. And see, for me, like with that elevation, I'm hardly ever behind a cage anymore. Oh, okay. So it's,
you're just open.
I'm open, man. And it's so good to be free because you feel more connected with what's going on. Sure. And that's why, like, I mean, we use Shy Baffles. Shout out to those guys because they are incredible and like are getting to church to do away with the drum shields, which is awesome. And great. They're great, great company. William's a great dude. He's the owner of it. Yeah, man. Being a drummer in general, it's just, you know, there's a lot to go into that question, especially like a worship drummer, man.
A drummer, though, right, is like basically the heartbeat of the entire band, right? There is no, in a lot of ways, there is no band without the kit, right? And so can you talk just a little bit about what it is to like sort of hold all that together, you know, tempo and.
Yeah, man, it's a huge responsibility as a drummer to, because you're driving the train, man, and you got to make sure that you're on time to keep everything else in order. And it can get more difficult, especially like if you're running Ableton and all these other elements along with that, and that can be distracting, but you just have to get, you know, especially today, like we use clicks and tracks, and you rarely are in a moment where you are just playing a whole set without click anymore.
Right.
But I think it's important to have things that you aren't playing clicks to or running tracks, just so you can like develop your own feel, so you can have that internal clock without that, because that can be a crutch a lot of times.
Interesting.
And so it's very important to have, you know, the best of both, because that ultimately like helps you in the long run. Because if you go to a gig that, you know, they don't use clicks or tracks, and you're the one that's having to drive the train, you're gonna be like, oh, I feel so uncomfortable because I don't have this guy to keep me in order.
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's your job anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, as the one that sort of like, because you a lot of times will start songs, you stop songs, like you're just sort of like rolling with it a lot of times.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's a lot of, and you've got like 40,000 different things like all around you, right? I've seen some of your setups, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? You've got like a drum pad on one side, and like, you know, like 15 toms or something, you know. So talk a little bit just about the gear and some of that. Man. Like, gosh, it gets complicated.
Dude, I am a gear head. I love just instruments, sounds, textures, just because I think since where I started with the percussion world and then I went into drumming, I like love blending the two together. And that's natural for me. So like I automatically think differently when it comes to like writing drum parts or just playing grooves in general, because I'm like, man, instead of just like constantly playing a groove on hi-hat, kick, and snare, what if I grab this cowbell or this this random, I don't know, tambourine or, you know, goat hoof or, you know, something.
You had some instrument from Ghana the other day on Instagram, right?
This family from church got that for me as a gift. They went to Ghana and they were like, we got this for you. And I was just so blessed by it and immediately just started writing like little stuff on it. And I mean, even like that, like that's, you know, it's a percussion instrument. But I was like, let me find out how I can incorporate it with just, you know, kick and snare. And so I'm constantly thinking that way. And so, yeah, I'm just a huge fan of sounds and textures and figuring out how to create a groove without, you know, what would be classified as normal of just doing kick, snare, just like the basic kit thing, which is great. But that's just not how my mind works. I'm trying to find something that's going to be like, oh, well, you took that kick, hat, snare groove and turned it into something completely different by using those elements. And so, yeah.
I like that. No, that's cool. I've really enjoyed looking through your Instagram just because it's like, man, you never know what you're going to get, you know? It's awesome. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I try to keep it fresh, man, and just, you know, keep it inspiring, because I love watching other guys on Instagram who inspire me, and I want to be the same way with posting, you know, what I have. And yeah.
Yeah. I love that creativity. I love that. I guess maybe, and this might be my little world, but I think of creativity more in like the, you know, notes on a guitar or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't necessarily think of the creativity in the percussion world, you know? I think there's this mentality for a lot of people that like there's people playing instruments and then there's the drummer back there just sort of like like hitting stuff, you know?
Right,
I mean?
Right.
Right. But there's so much like texture and creativity, like you add so much to what's going on in the overall feel of whatever you're playing.
Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, it's just having a mindset of being musical instead of just being like, oh, I'm going to play drums, I'm going to play this beat. But like, you know, it's just being in tune with what's happening around you and playing within what's happening around you.
Right. Well, because a lot of times you're driving dynamics in addition to keeping the beats, yep. right? Like if you're kind of drumming a little bit light, mm-hmm. you know, the band's light, but when you get
yep.
it.
Yep. Right? Absolutely.
Yeah. I love that. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. So, and then I think what people don't understand about drums too, is like, I guess guitarists have, you know, guitars and amps and pedals and all that stuff, but drummers, like it is mind boggling to me the money you can spend on a drum set, dude. Oh my gosh.
It's insane. I mean, just how much you can actually spend on just one piece of gear, like a snare drum, right. you could spend anywhere from, you know, $1,000 to, you know, $3,000, if it's depending on how vintage it is. It's just kind of mind boggling.
Yeah. You look at the hi-hat, right? It's two cymbals. And I always look at them. I'm like, oh, that's only $150. And they're like, oh, that's the top cymbal. You're like, what? Like, and then some of those like giant ride cymbals. I mean, just like thousands, right?
I play all Istanbul cymbals, and they're expensive, but I mean, they're the best cymbals on the market, man, and the best company. And I always tell people tell everyone about them, just because I've never found, here's my thing with like just gear in general. I've never found cymbals that have actually like spoke to me as a drummer, or as a musician. Like every time that I play them, they're so musical. I think differently and more creatively when I play them, and they just like, they're just unreal. And I've never had that feeling with cymbals ever. And so that's why I play those cymbals, because I can find my sound with those. They're just unreal. And I treat that way with like any other gear. Like, does this speak to me?
Yeah. I was going to ask, is that your process? It's just sort of like, you're not looking for necessarily like, oh, this is bright and chimey, or, you know, this is has a deep thump or something. It's more. Yes,
I do think of those that sometimes, but majority of the times it's like, how does this feel to me? Does it feel good? And can I make it feel good, kind of thing? And so, but yeah, I do look for those tones, like the bright, dark, warm tones. Those elements do play in it as well.
Yeah. Well, cause you're constantly, or I've seen a lot of different kits, right, that you've used, and like, I'm sure Elevation, you have like some say into like what kit goes on the stage and stuff. I mean, you just sort of like messing with gear all the time.
Yeah. Messing with gear all the time, man. And that's the fun part. Cause there's always something new to like tweak or figure out, or a new sound. It's just like, oh man, like I feel like I could use this for that. And, you know, thinking ahead also with sounds and gear. So yeah.
So much stuff.
It's awesome. So much stuff, man. And you get into triggers, and it's just a whole nother world.
Yeah, that's what I was going to. So that's the little pad you have sort of sitting over to your right that has all the. So what does that do?
So basically, so that's my Roland SPDS-XS. So SPDS-SX. Got it right.
All those things.
Yeah,
man,
all those
so
things.
Much.
But yeah, so basically that's just my drum pad, my electronic drum pad that I can actually run two lines or four lines out of and use triggers. So basically if I want to put a trigger on my snare, take a quarter inch, run it to my rolling pad. And in my brain, I can set whatever sound that I want to. So if I don't necessarily have to hit my rolling pad, I can hit my snare and trigger that. So if it's kind of awkward for me to cross over or something, if I just want it on my snare to layer the two and kind of create this hybrid sound, I can do that with that. And so, yeah, I love all that nerdy stuff too, man.
you're just playing that on the fly?
Yeah.
Triggering new sounds.
Yeah, and so I'll have like bank set. So like for John Mark example, when I'm out with him, there's a song called Persephone, and I am using a side snare, and I have a splash cymbal on top of it to create this oil lamp sample that was used on the record. And then I'm also using it was a water heater sound that was used on the record. And now I'm using my bar trigger that I'm triggering from my rolling pad that's underneath my ride that's kind of like right there. And that was the oil lamp sample. So I'm playing this intricate beat. I actually have a video of it on my YouTube, or not my YouTube, but my Instagram.
Okay. I'll try to link it.
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
But, sweet. Yeah. And just this intricate beat and just using the trigger for that. But, that's just kind of like one of the ways that I'll incorporate that. But like when I need to switch, I can just set a bank on my rolling pad and go to the next song. Like if you're playing on Haunted or something and have a completely different sound on that same trigger. So yeah,
dude. Oh my gosh, that is mind. I mean, you're kind of playing a pedal board for your drums.
Pretty much. Yeah. Doing that. And then also you got running Ableton over here. So like you're having to split your brain and, you know, do all of that stuff.
Well, because Ableton's sort of telling you what part of the song you're at, right? Because like all these other instruments are sort of playing in Ableton at the same time.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yep. Dude, it is so complicated. I think people have no idea what goes into like a normal even worship set at a church on a Sunday morning.
Oh yeah, it's very detailed, man, for sure. It's not just, you know, plug in and everything's set for you to go. Like there's work leading up to it for sure, and then there's work within it whenever you're actually like making it happen. So
yeah well, not only get all that stuff to work but actually sound good and be good at what you're doing, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the next level right?
You have to prepare for it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah gosh, that's awesome. That's a lot of stuff. So let's talk a little bit about road life. Are you on the road quite a bit, like with touring?
Yeah, I'm on the road a good bit throughout the year. I'm never gone for like long periods of time, which is nice because I enjoy being home. I don't like being, I hate being away from my wife. So about 3 weeks is the most that I can do before getting antsy.
Yeah.
Sure. And so, but
that's a long time.
It is, man. But yeah, road life is amazing. I love going to new places or places that I've been to before, meeting new people. I'm a big foodie, man. And so I love going to spots and figuring out where's the place to eat. Where should we go for dinner or for lunch?
Yeah.
All about that, man.
let's jump on the food train here for a sec. I can't just leave that alone. Are you just like all genres or what?
I like, I don't have, you know, one thing I gravitate towards. I'm open to anything. We were out on a John Mark tour and we stopped, we were out with the Josh Garrell's guys and we all went and had a band dinner together. And we went to this French spot. I'm trying to remember where we were, but I can't think of it right now. It'll come to me. But but yeah, we went up in there, man, and got like escargot and all this other weird stuff. And I had never had it before. And I knew what escargot was, but I was like, I'm always down to try something once. I'm never like, unless it looks absolutely disgusting or if it's like live octopus or something, right. I won't do that. Yeah. And so I tried it and it wasn't bad. But I don't think I'd try it again, but it's just me knowing what it was. I was just like, I'll give it a try, but I don't think I'll do this again. But the reason why I'm like a big foodie guy is just because I love food. And before I actually got really into music, I wanted to go to school to be a chef. So that's one reason that plays into it. So
what happened with that was, did drumming just take over?
Yeah, I just decided that I wanted to do music. And so out of high school, I was going to go to Johnson & Wales in Charlotte here because they had just started that university. I want to say maybe a year and a half or two before I graduated, but had a change of plans and I went to community college. And from there I was like, well, I wanted to do architecture as well. So I went there and, you know, took some blueprint reading classes and all the courses for that. And then after that, I was just like, I don't feel like this is what I want to do. And then that's when music like really started to have a play in my life. And that's when I was like, I feel like I want to do music. And
just an artistic dude, man. You got all sorts of the culinary arts and the musical arts. And, yeah, that's good. So what is back to road life, though? What does that sort of even look like when you're on the road? I like have no concept of like any of that.
Yeah, man, it's road life can it's very fun, but it also can be very exhausting because you have, you know, some tours you have like multiple shows, and it could be, you know, you got like 15, 30 shows that you got to do. And you could start the tour out with, you know, one or two shows, have a day off, two shows, have a day off, three shows, so and so. But then there's some runs where you have six shows and then like a day off and then five back to back. And like those get super tiring because six shows back to back, it's a lot of work on your body. And you just make sure, you got to make sure that you're staying well rested, going to bed at a decent time, because you know you have to be back up in the morning for load in and sound check and all that stuff, and make sure you stay up on your emergency and, you know, make sure you're keeping yourself intact and healthy. But yeah, like being on the tour bus or flying, you know, to the next spot that you have to play. So when you fly, most cases, as a drummer, there'll be a backline kit there for you. You can kind of let them know like what you want, okay, what company you want to use, the sizes and whatnot. You can go super in detail with it, even with heads and all that stuff. But then you normally travel with your cymbals and then like your snare, if you're particular to your snare. But other than that, that's pretty much all you really need to take. For me, I take those two things, and then I also take my interface and my rolling pad just because I have my samples and everything on it. And so, yeah, so that's like right, for flying. But when you're on a tour bus, obviously you take your own kit, and there's a trailer that hauls all the gear and everything. And but yeah, it's fun, but it's work for sure.
Right. Well, because like when you say you're doing a show at night, like what does a day look like? I mean, are you like setting up all of your stuff and like?
Just yeah, depends. Like, I mean, with John Mark, we work super hard. We set up our own stuff. So like what a day looks like. We get into the next city. We wake up. We might have, you know, a few hours to go get breakfast somewhere, kind of explore a little bit, and then we'll have load in normally around 12 or 1, load in all of our gear, and we'll set it up, and then after set up, we'll sound check. So from like 12 to, you know, 3, 2:30-ish, we're working during that time, getting stuff set, getting sound checked and whatnot. And then after that, we have up until the show to kind of do whatever, or like right before. And so, yeah, okay, we'll go explore, or we'll hang out with, you know, the guys that we're touring with, or, you know, go check out record stores or whatever. But yeah, that's normally what a day looks like with John Mark. With Elevation, it's different. I haven't toured in a while with Elevation. Luke's doing it right now and he's killing it. They just did a European tour, just got home from it. And freaking slayed, man. And so it's awesome. To we were just in England last weekend, and we played a festival called Big Church Day Out. So John Mark, we played Saturday, Elevation Worship played Sunday. So we actually played the same festival, and we thought we were going to get to hang with each other, but it didn't work out because we left Sunday as they were coming in, which was a bummer. But you know, it's all good. But it's crazy to go to a completely different part of the world and still be connected, but then like the people that have, you know, heard Elevation or of John Mark and just are so know every single word to every song. It's kind of bizarre, man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, with Elevation, it looks different because unless I think you normally you play somewhere or like a conference or something, they're going to have backline kits, and you could take just your cymbals and your, you know, snare and necessities that you need, basically. So it's different for sure. Obviously, they're both work for sure. But yeah, they're different. Yeah.
That's cool. That's cool. That's crazy. That's a lot. So I have a mobile church, you know, so we set up and tear down every week and stuff.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I have a little inkling of what some of that's like.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Not so, nearly what y'all do.
So but, yeah, take yeah, that and imagine doing it for, you know, like 30 or 25 shows.
I can't imagine. Like, especially six in a row sounds crazy.
Oh man.
It kills me. Like, Sundays kill me already. You know? So
it can take a toll on you for sure. But
yeah, but it keeps you, you know, muscly and you know, keeps you fit.
Oh yeah. Keeps you working out for sure.
That's good stuff. All right. But something I definitely wanted to talk to you about, something I love about your Instagram feed, is I never know if I'm going to get like a Tribe Called Quest or Alternative or, you know, so, I mean, it's just like you seem to love all genres of music.
Yeah.
Right. Can we just talk a little music? Like, what are some of the things that are like inspiring you even now? Or,
man, I just love music in general. And I think it's very important, as you know, not only as a drummer but as a musician, to just keep your mind open and be able and willing to listen to anything, because you can get inspiration from anything. And I just think it's very important to have an open mind to do that. And for me, I grew up listening to just like a lot of classic 80s and 70s, man. My mom and like my grandparents, like a lot of Motown stuff.
Motown
stuff. But then even like my mom, like a lot of like ABBA and Ace of Base and stuff like that, man. So I grew up like just in this weird, well, it wasn't weird, but just like around different types of music. And I guess it stuck with me. And so, like, I listen to jazz. I mean, we're in our record room right now, and so like we have like 60s, 70s, 80s funk, 80s classic, hip hop, Motown, jazz, orchestra, Nat King Cole, Sinatra. That's our Christmas section right there. We love Christmas. We love Christmas music so much, man. And we've got more over there too. But like, I don't know, music, I just feel like music speaks in different ways. And you never know like what song you could find or listen to that's going to be like, oh man, like that is unreal, or that spoke to me, or that chord, that note, or that feel. It's just, I don't know. I just love music so much.
That's awesome. And I really have appreciated all that. Okay. So I'm going to define this for you though, because I'm getting into vinyl. I'm building my collection, but I'm a big hip hop guy. And I like from way back, you know, I've got like Wu-Tang, the greatest hits is like my favorite record right now, or, you know, so give me some hip hop maybe that I don't know about that I should be checking out on vinyl. Is that fair?
Oh,
or we can expand it to just like anything that I should be listening to on vinyl with just like sick drummers or whatever, you know?
Oh man. Are you into, well, what type of music are you into? Are you just into hip hop?
I love hip hop. Like, I mean, that's probably the thing that I'll sit around and listen to most. Like, I just got Black Delicious on vinyl from my wife, you know, like, but I like, nice. I like a lot of underground stuff, you know, not necessarily like rap, I guess,
but
I like good flows. I like good beats, you know?
Yeah. You like the Roots?
Love the Roots. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'd say get some Roots records. Obviously, like old school, Tribe Called Quest. He's not technically like hip hop, but D'Angelo, Questlove plays on most of his records.
Oh, really? So, D'Angelo?
Yeah, D'Angelo.
Okay.
You love he? I mean, he's not. He's kind of like R&B soulful, but I mean, it's great stuff. It's so good. But aside from hip hop, man, I'm a huge James Taylor fan.
Really? My wife loves James Taylor so much.
Oh, I want to see him live. I think he's coming to Raleigh this year, and I want to see him live because he's getting old, man.
Yeah, for real.
I don't know how much longer he'll be around, but hopefully he's around for a long, long time. But I would love to see him live. But my favorite record, my favorite record of his is October Road.
Okay.
That's one to check out.
Yeah.
One to check out on vinyl.
I found one of his at Goodwill, like a record of his that we have laying around, but I cannot remember what it is. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. James Taylor, you know, I'm a huge 80s fan, Tears of Fear, and then like I'm cycling through because I can't think off the top of my head. Hall & Oates, Phil Collins, man, Peter Gabriel, Billy Ocean, Whitesnake.
Dude, your music are just incredible.
I know, man. Gosh. So here's just to give you an example. Yes, from Whitesnake to Whitney Houston, Chaka Khan, Bob Marley, Sade, Fleetwood Mac, James Taylor, Michael Franks, Christopher Cross, man, it goes on and on.
Dude, I mean, that's like, you can't get, I mean, I guess you can get more different than that, but it's hard to like get more different than that in genres from just what you just said, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Does that go back though to like your creativity in beats, right? Because you could take something from like even James Taylor, who is a very different genre than you play, and like tease something out of it. Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. It's so helpful, man. And always listening to music is inspiring to me, whether it's a new record or an old record, constantly just like listening and, you know, developing my ear. But also developing my creativity and myself as a musician. And so I think that's one of the main keys as a drummer. I actually just went to my first drum clinic by a drummer that I look up to a lot and inspires me a lot. His name's Carter McLean.
Okay.
And he plays for the Lion King Broadway in New York. And he is by far my favorite drummer of all time is Steve Jordan. I hope to meet him one day. And he's had the biggest influence on my playing, but Carter is like second to that. And his feel is just unreal, and how he thinks creativity wise is like the same vein that I'm in. And so he's like huge to me right now. And but yeah, like all of that, like I was saying, one of the main things to have as a drummer is always make sure that you're listening. Cause that's one of the things that he was like very direct about, was just like keeping your ears on point and, you know, listening and hearing the music and hearing parts and not like overplaying, even though like, if you think of an idea that may sound cool in your head, as far as like a part or pattern, like get it out. But then you might think to yourself, oh, I probably shouldn't have done that there. And then you kind of, you know, you're working yourself to have a better internal mindset of where to play stuff and how to feel stuff. So,
yeah. Cause you can just play so much that like everything's just muddy, right? Like if you just filled every little gap or whatever, right?
Yeah. That, or you completely take the feel away from the song. And like I said, like being a drummer is being musical as well. So you want to make sure that you're placing, you know, everything that you're playing in the right spots and what feels good, what feels natural.
Yeah. You have such an important role. We're getting people excited about drumming, man. That's what we're doing here. So
absolutely, man. That's what it's about.
That's right.
Spreading the drum love.
That's right.
Man.
That's right. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into our final two questions. Are you, you good with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so my first question is, what is the strangest job that you have ever had?
Oh, man. I would say the strangest job would be, I worked at a shoe factory.
Shoe factory?
Yeah, a shoe. It was called a shoe show warehouse, where I walked around with this like, scanner thing on my wrist, and it almost like, you know, when you put your finger in to like get tested for your blood pressure or something like that,
right?
Put it over your finger and you like scan labels. So you're walking up and down these aisles like you're like a robot and scanning like whatever comes up on your scanner for your order technically. And you box that up and you put it on the conveyor belt and you do the next thing, and it was just a repetitive cycle. But I would say that was probably the weirdest job because I felt like a robot.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, that would be it. Yeah.
That's crazy. You just never know, do you?
You never know.
Right. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. So my final question then is, what is one piece of advice you would give to somebody looking to bring the kingdom of God more into their work?
I would say, man, that's a great question. Honestly, man, just, you know, putting yourself aside and allowing him to fully work in you. And a lot of times that's hard to see what it looks like. But, I mean, that's why we have faith. And we, you know, we put our trust in him. And, you know, for me, there's a lot of, like, great example. A lot of times I didn't know what music would be like for me if I went full time. And in that moment, I was just like, man, I'm just giving this to you, God. And I think having that in your walk with Christ of just like, I don't know what this looks like. I got to give this to you. My hands are tied. I don't know what to do. I got to trust in you to do it. I think having that throughout your entire walk with Christ is very important, and never losing sight of that, because, you know, obviously we're human, and, you know, there are going to be times where we're just like going to do things our own way, and they're not going to turn out how we thought they would. But always remembering that, you know, the way that they do turn out is how it's supposed to be. And I think if you can, you know, just keep that in your mind and understand that that's how, you know, it works, then I think you'd be set. You'd be good.
That's good, man. I love that. I think that's a great piece of advice, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hey, dude, thanks for making time for me and jumping on and chatting drums.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I'm sorry it took so long to finally get here.
Dude, it was worth it. It was worth all the time. So
yeah.
It's good.
Awesome.
Thanks for making time for me. And we'll be seeing each other around, I'm sure. So
yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Dude, it's been good. It's been good. I'll talk to you.
Take care.
See you, man.
Peace.
All right. Well, I hope you enjoyed hearing from Dom. I just loved talking about creativity as a drummer. I think that's important stuff to talk about, and just how God uses percussion, you know, to really drive us into not only worship, but into creativity, into expressions of art, and how all that just has amazing value and beauty. So check out some of this music, though. I love that Dom will listen to like so many amazing things. Go check out some new music for me this week and let me know about it. I'd love to hear what you pick up, what you dive into. And let's spark some musical creativity among us all, inspired by Dom. So yeah, I hope you do all that. Make sure and leave me a rating and review if you get a second. Just takes a couple of minutes. Go scroll to the bottom of your app. You can leave it right there, rating and review, and I would greatly appreciate that. And until next time, get out there and hustle.